Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. And let's join Pastor Rick right now with part two of a message called Developing Trust.
Now, folks, this is one of the most popular ideas in our society today, that God is anything you want Him to be. That all of the expressions are equally valid and equally true. And that you can believe whatever you want about what God is like, and it's okay, and it's right, and it's true. Now that sounds very politically correct, but we have a real problem with it. Somebody forgot to tell God. He said, this is the way I am, and I don't want anybody misrepresenting me. Because if you don't know the truth, you can't trust me. And if you can't trust God, you can't have a relationship with Him. And so in the second of the Ten Commandments, in God's top ten, the second one says, don't misrepresent me. Don't make phony images of me. He says, don't make idols that aren't really me. And He is very clear that when we imagine Him, when we think about Him, He wants us to think about Him in truth. He wants us to worship the truth, not some phony image that somebody has created. Now, I need to warn you of what's called syncretism. It's a very prevailing philosophy in the world today. What is syncretism? Syncretism is the idea of combine a bunch of ideas from many different philosophies and ways of life, put them all together, and that will become your philosophy. That becomes your religion. Get an idea here, an idea there, and here an idea, throw in a few of yourself, make them up, and that's what God's like. And we have this all the time in our society. People think that it's very cool to do this. Now, what happens when you take, for instance, a little bit of Christianity, you take a little bit of what the Bible says, you take a little bit of, say, Eastern thought, Buddhism and Taoism and Shintoism. You throw in a little science fiction. You throw in a little bit of more high technology. And what do you get when you mix all that together? What you get is Heaven's Gate. Heaven's Gate. That's what these guys believed. Now, people do this all the time today. Because they think, well, it's just as legitimate in any other way. The so-called New Age has nothing new about it at all. There is not one single new idea in the New Age thinking. All it is a combination of very old, old lies that have been around for centuries, named by other things, paganism and naturalism and pantheism and all these different things. And you just take them and reformulate them together, throw them all in, and go out on a limb, and you got New Age. God says, don't do that. And He says, just a combination of old lies. Now, when I get into that kind of stuff, it inevitably leads to disappointment and domination and eventually destruction of my own life. I lose my own identity because I stop becoming what God made me to be. So then, the second question is, why don't I trust God more? Why do I end up trusting all these other things instead of trusting God? And the answer, you might write this down, is because I really don't know God. I really don't know God. You see, you don't trust somebody you don't know. And neither do I. Let's say a stranger comes up to you on the street and says, you know what? You'll live 50 years longer if you'll put your shirt on backwards. And you go, hey, who are you to tell me how to live? I mean, who set you up as the big authority? I know what's best for my life. You don't know what's best for my life. And you're just a stranger. And you're not going to give that any validity at all. The same is true with God. If you don't know God, and you don't know what He's really like, or you've got some of these phony ideas about Him that you've picked up who knows where, you're not going to trust Him. And when God says things like, you know what? I thought up sex, and it is to be reserved only for marriage. And if you don't really know God, you're going to go, Well, who are you to tell me what I'm to do with my sexuality? Who set you up with this judge? You're not going to trust him. And when God says, I want you to tell the truth, even on your taxes, and you're going, well, why in the world should I do that? I don't know who you are. On what basis should I trust you? When you don't know God, you tend to question all the things that he knows, all the things he says to do. On the other hand, if you really know God and you really know how much he matters to you and how much you matter to him, and if you really know what he's got in store for your life, and if you really understand that he has your best interest at heart, you don't have trouble at all following what he says. It doesn't make sense to me, but I know you always do the right thing when you follow God, because he created the owner's manual and he made me, so I figure he knows more about life than I do. He's just trying to help me avoid some pain. It all comes down to, do you know him? Now, that's why God says in the Bible, he says, I want you to make sure that you really know the real me, not some phony image or some idol. And that's a problem today, because today most people spend more time in front of the television than they do reading God's word. So we get most of our ideas about God from what I call talk show theology. And there are a lot of popular myths out there that just aren't true. For instance, that God is somebody who's all he's basically doing is looking to hurt you because you blew it. Now, who wants to serve a God like that? Nobody. Who wants to love a God like that? Of course, nobody does. Now, at the opposite extreme is the guy I call the God, the celestial Santa Claus. And the celestial Santa Claus never says you do anything wrong. He's half senile, and he benignly smiles at you and pats you on the head, and no matter what you do, it could be the most despicable thing. He's going, that's okay, go right ahead. Boys will be boys. And he couldn't make you stop doing something if he wanted to, because he's basically impotent. He's an old man who has no power, and he's just kind of senile, and no matter what you do, God goes, that's just fine. Now, what kind of God is that? Now, don't misunderstand me. God loves you no matter what you do. But God does not approve of everything you do. And God wants you to change some of the things you do. If I have a child who I know is doing something that is self-destructive, yes, I love them, and that's why I want them to change. I know what's going to do to them. Then there's what I call the George Burns image of God. You know, the oh God, where God is basically just another human being who walks around in tennis shoes, and he's got a few more powers than we do, but he's kind of a bumbler. He's got the same faults, failures. He doesn't know all the answers either. He's just kind of like us, and that's really whittling God down. When you think God is George Burns, you've really taken a reduction. And then another really popular image or idol of God today is, God is the force. You know, may the force be with you. Now, let me give you some advice as a friend. Enjoy Star Wars, the movie, but don't get your theology from it, okay? I mean, it's a great flick. I've seen it at least 50 times. It's a terrific, but it's just a movie. It's just fiction. And it's filled with pantheism. And a lot of people buy into that. It's real popular today that God is this energy force. And this energy force flows around us and in us. And there's a good part and there's a bad part. And one we might call God and then the devil, but it's this evil and good side. And God flows through everybody and everything. And everything is in God and God is in everything. And everything is God. In fact, God's in me, so I'm God. Ooh, now I like that. Okay? Well, if you're God, let me see you part the Red Sea. Okay? Let me see you raise yourself from the dead 3 days from now. You're not God and you know it. You're just kidding yourself. Now, let me explain something to you. God is not in everything. I mean, you hear this all the time. Everything's in God and God's everything. That is a bunch of baloney. God is not in everything. God created everything. No doubt about that. God created everything. But God is not in everything, and everything is not God. That is called pantheism. It's about 5,000 years old. And the most ignorant groups of people bought into it. Now, what happens when you buy all that stuff together and you put it all together? Well, you get, like I say, heaven's gate. And you get a lot of confusion and you get a lot of problems. Now, these images that I've just talked about, they're not systems where you're going, well, I really want to trust and love that. Who wants to love the force? That doesn't draw any love out of you. But even if you don't accept those, you might have your own. So let me ask you, how do you imagine God? When I say God, what do you think of? What do you conceive of? How do you imagine God? You say, well, I like to think of God like, and then you tell me, you like to think of God like? I don't want to be disrespectful, but who cares what you think? I mean, you're just guessing. Just because I like to think of God doesn't mean that's the way he is. You're just guessing. In fact, what you're more likely doing is creating an idol of convenience who justifies what you do. And that's not the truth. What matters is not what Rick Warren thinks God is like. And what matters is not what you think God is like. What matters is what God says he is like. And he's very clear about it in his word. What matters is truth. Truth matters, not just what I think up. If you base your life on how I like to think of God, you're living in a fantasy world, not reality. And I suggest you check out of that and check back into reality. You got to know what God says. That's why God says, if you don't know me in the true way, you're worshiping an idol. And he says, if you don't know the truth about me, you can't trust me. And if you can't trust me, we can't have a relationship. Because all relationships are built on trust and truth. If they're genuine. If they're not, it causes all kinds of problems. Now here's the alternative to trusting God. Worry, conflict, and feel like you have to control it all. And that is a very stressful, miserable way to live. And God says, I got a better idea. Trust me. Trust me. Now, why in the world should I do that? Why should I trust God completely with every area of my life? Four reasons. You write these down. This is what God says about himself. It's not what some talk show host thought up. It's what God says in his word. Why should I trust God completely with my life? Number one, because he always tells the truth. Always. In fact, you could even say, not only say tells, he is the truth. He is the truth. God is truth incarnate. Truth is defined by God. He is the essence of truth. The nature of God are those that are things that are right. The things that are not right are those things that are anti-God. Anti his nature. They're the opposite. Look at this first verse. The Bible says, we can completely count on him, for it is impossible for God to lie. Would you circle the word impossible? People ask me all the time, hey, Rick, is there anything God can't do? Yes, there are things God can't do. Let me tell you what God can't do. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Why? Because God cannot not be himself. God cannot deny his own nature. God cannot contradict himself because he is the essence of truth. There is no way that God could be untruthful. Is there anything God can't do? Yes, there's something God can't do. He cannot lie because he is absolute truth. That means we can count on him. That means we can turn to him. Jesus said, I am the truth. And in a world where we no longer value truth, who do you turn to? Well, the Bible says in Romans 3, God will continue to be true even when every person is false. And so if God says to do this in this, do something in this book, I'm going to follow it. Why? Because it's the truth. It may not be popular. It may not be easy. I may not even understand it. It may seem like nonsense. But I think God can understand what goes on in life a whole lot better than my little pea brain. He tells the truth. The second reason I can trust God completely is because He loves me. He loves me. He says it over and over and over and over and over again in the Bible, many, many places. And He demonstrates it in your life every day. You were created as an act of God's love. God thought you up and created you to love you and to let you love Him. You were created as an object of God's love. And the Bible says over and over, God loves you. And the greatest expression of that is Jesus Christ Himself, where God says, I'm going to come to earth in the form of a human being to show you what I'm really like. And I'm going to show you how much I love you by dying for you on the cross. And that's how much I love you. If you ever want to know what God is really like, get a good long look of Jesus Christ, because He is the picture. Jesus is God. He said it Himself. He said, I am God. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, I am the way. No one comes unto the Father but by me. God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Bible says, in Him dwells all the fullness of God bodily. He's God. You know, sometimes I have people say to me, Rick, I don't know. How can you just say that Jesus is the only way? Well, I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you have a problem with that, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with Jesus. And I would suggest that you better check it out, because He's either a liar or He's telling the truth, and you're betting your eternity on it. So you better check it out. Before you make some snap decision, you better check it out, because you're betting your eternity on it.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick. I've got some great news to share with you today. We've got some generous friends of Daily Hope that have offered a $50,000 matching grant. And now here's Rick to tell you more about it.
You know, I just want to take a quick second to say thank you, everybody. Because of your generosity, we're able to take the hope of Jesus Christ into places where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ, no churches at all. Now, as you pray about giving, I want to ask you to ask God about sending a gift that's the largest you're able to give, because at this point of the year, we have a donor who has offered to match your gift. That means what you give will be doubled. We get twice the bang for the buck, in other words. So please respond quickly and give in such a way that we can maximize it through this matching gift. And I want to ask you this. Would you pray for us at Daily Hope? Pray as we reach out to people around the globe with hope that people will find Christ by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands. So thank you for being a partner with me to getting the message out.
If you're saying, I'd like to help support Pastor Rick and this ministry financially, it's easy. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, please go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.